We're using Dar today and Common and do what you do so greatly. Come on, girl. Are you hooked up or are you going to use the mic?
Oh, this is good now.
All right.
Yeah. Morning, everybody. How is everybody?
Good.
How many's not good? I'm glad I didn't see any hands because actually God calls you good. So, and I think he knows better than you do. So, thank you, Lord, for your love and your presence, Lord, in the house. Thank you, Lord, for the destiny of this place, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that before the foundation of the world, you spoke into existence that day. This work here, these people here, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, God, that you already saw, because you already planned what would happen and what would come out of Thief River Falls, Minnesota, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the impact that this place is going to put on the world in the name of Jesus and on Minnesota and into Canada, into all over in Jesus' name. I thank you, God. It was preordained. It was pre-planned. It was put in the books already, Lord. And Father, whatsoever that thing that you begin, you will be faithful to complete it, Lord. In Jesus' name. I thank you that everyone in this room are part of a destiny, Lord. Are part of the plan, Lord. Are part of what you are going to do on the earth right now in Jesus' name. And it is much bigger and much more powerful, Lord, than what we can imagine, Lord. The Bible says, eye has not seen nor ear heard what God has prepared for those that love him. Eye has not seen nor ear heard what God has prepared for those who love him. I love destiny. I love destiny. God is more powerful than the enemy. That thing that is defeating you, God is more powerful to bring you into victory for it. There's a scripture that was hit me this week. I just came home from Victoria, B.C. There was a retired colonel in the Canadian Army that trained soldiers, and he came and correlated it into spirituality, how that we're all soldiers in the Army. And as he was speaking, the Lord was speaking to me. And there's a scripture verse that says, anything that is of the kingdom cannot be shaken. That which is Christ in you will never, never be shaken.
Come on, never.
That thing that is Christ within you will never be shaken. I don't care what circumstance you're going through in your life, that thing is so solid in you, it will be never removed. Because it says anything that can be shaken will be shaken. Anything that can be shaken will be shaken because it doesn't belong to God. But anything that is in you, anything that is in you that's of God will never be shaken. Never, never, never. Don't ever let the enemy deceive you. That says, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. Because it's not true. Because anything that the kingdom establishes is established forever.
Yes.
Forever.
Forever.
Can you say forever?
Forever.
God in me. Say that. God in me. Is forever. It's forever. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, fill the house. Fill the house. You cannot conquer God. You cannot conquer God, but God can conquer all things. And when you are feeling weak and when you are feeling weary, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. When you're doubting, Holy Spirit, come. What you need at that moment is God. What you need at that moment is His power, His strength. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Shake the house, Lord. Anything that the kingdom shakes, Lord, will last forever, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, Holy Spirit, come in Jesus' name. I prepared something, but I don't know if he's shifting it or what he's doing, so, but we'll just kind of go with the flow. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7, please. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 17. Something happened when Jesus came on the earth. He changed the whole system. He changed the whole system. When Jesus comes, change comes. When you see God change comes. He shifts. He changes. And so in Hebrews chapter 7, Jesus came and he changed the whole order of Christianity. And it says this, for it attested of him, it testifies of him, that he is a priest, that Jesus is a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. According to the order of Melchizedek. So in other words, the way that people served God before that was according to Levi, was according to the Levitical rules. So in other words, it's according to the law. And it was according to all the things that were written in the first five books of the Bible. Okay, so according to the law, that's how they live their life. But when Jesus came on the scene, he completed that. But what he did with that is he changed the whole order of things. Because it's under the order of Melchizedek. Now tell me, who is Melchizedek? What was he? He was what?
A priest,
and he was a king. So, this new order comes in, and where before we were kind of like priests of the Levitical, in other words, it was up to us to obey the laws, the rules, the regulations, to make sure that we didn't do anything wrong, and it's a system to guide us as to actually this is what I believe the law was for. To show us what is God and what was not God. That's it. It was never meant for us to live by. And so all of a sudden, Jesus comes in. Let me ask you this. Why did God send his son? What's that? To save us from our sins. That's one reason. Only one reason. I don't think it was the major reason. What's that, Darla? I can't hear you. You got it. Okay, this is it. Because before the foundation of the world, God was invisible and he wanted a visible entity that was just like him. The only way that he could do that, he had to introduce divinity into humanity. That's why Jesus came. You see, what we've done is the focus of our Christianity has basically been from the fall forward. Okay, that's why we've grabbed the identity sinners saved by grace, which is a pile of crap. Am I allowed to say that? I guess I did anyway. Okay, but the thing of it is, the focus of the fall forward, all of our evangelism, everything we do is from the fall forward. Because this is what we've been taught, this is what has been drilled into us, it's about our failures, we need Jesus. It's our failures, we need Jesus. But what if God's motivation is, I want to insert myself into them so that they fully represent me? And so in other words, there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. Someone want to look that up, please? 1 Corinthians 3:3. It's in the Bible. Just saying. Okay. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3:3. Does anyone have it? Who has it? Okay.
For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way?
Okay. What does it say in your version?
It says, you are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, you are not worldly. Are you not acting like mere humans?
Okay. I love this. Are you not acting like mere humans? If he makes a statement that way and says you're acting like a mere human, basically what he's saying is you're really not. You're really not. You're more than a human. You're more than a human. The minute Jesus Christ is inserted into our life, you're no longer a mere human. And so this is where we live our Christian life according to that identity. So you see, here's the thing. It gets us into a whole topic of why we believe we're still naked. Just like in the Garden of Eden. And Adam said, I'm naked, so I hid. And God came back at him and said, well, who said you were naked? Because the deceiver, his biggest job is to
deceive.
Yes. What power does the enemy have over us?
None.
That's right. His only power is to deceive you into giving up your divinity. His only power is to deceive you into making you behave and making you think you're just a human being when you're not. This is a scripture verse. There's actually a few in the Bible. Did you know the Bible is full of scripture? No, I was just kidding. Okay. So it says, there is therefore now no condemnation. So how much condemnation is in the thoughts of God towards us? None. But the deceiver, I love what they were singing this morning, because it talks about shame. It was talking about that. Where do you get shame from? You see, that's what happened to Adam in the garden. I was ashamed. I was naked, so I hid. There's things that the enemy's job is that the one thing he doesn't want us to do is to act in our divinity. He does not want us to utilize our divinity. He wants to keep us as a mere human. And so what does he do? He causes us to be ashamed. He causes us to fall into all other kinds of stuff that looks at us. Like, here's Adam in the garden. He says, I was naked, so I hid. And God is saying, well, who said you were naked? Who said you were naked? is telling you right now, you're naked? Who is telling you right now you're not measuring up? I guarantee it's not God. Because there is therefore now no condemnation. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn it. So here's this order. Jesus comes in and brings in this whole new order called the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a king and a priest. So what he's saying, you are a king and you are a priest. Every one of us are kings. We're meant to rule. We're not meant to be under subjection of the enemy. We're not meant to be under the subjection of accusation and shame. We're not meant to be under that subjection. We are actually ruling and reigning on the earth. Why? There's something that he desired. There's something that he desired, and he knew we had it. And he wanted to take it from us. Genesis 1, 26 to 28, and he says, and God created man in his own image and likeness. Male and female created he them. It wasn't male, non-female, and, mutated. It wasn't that. Okay, so that's all the political stuff I'm going to say right now. It was male and female created he them. And he says, and he gave them dominion. Verse 28. Why? Because we fully represent him. If God is Lord of the universe in heaven, in the invisible realm, he wanted a visible ruling force on the earth. And it was called us. The kingly role. Jesus came to set up the kingly role under the order of Melchizedek. But it also says that Melchizedek was a priest. But you see, the priesthood, I'm not ministering to the sinner you. I'm not ministering to the sinner you. That's not what the priesthood is about. No, the priesthood is that I'm going to speak into the God in you. And I am ministering to God in you. That's what my job is as a priest. My job as a priest is to speak into the God in you. Your job is to speak into the God in others around you. You're not only a king in which you rule and reign, but you're also a priest that says, you are so holy, you squeak because you're so holy. So that's the order of Melchizedek. So that's why prophecy is important, because we discover what God says about us. You're queen. You're a ruling force. You have no idea of the rippling effect that your life has on other people around you. If you could have the vision of the repercussions of your presence, you would be amazed at how many people you are affecting and impacting for God. You see, and here's the thing. Every one of us were bought with a high price, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, for you've been bought with a high price. Jim? There's an old beat-up car out there. It's got no wheels on it. All the glass is out of it. It's totally rusted out. Would you pay $1 million for that?
No.
Okay. Yeah. We've been bought with a high price. Why? Because God saw value. Okay, I'm not saying we're beat-up old pickup trucks that are outside. I'm not saying that. Please don't hear that. But there's something that he said of you that is so extremely valuable, of us, that so it was so worth it to him. Because the plan, you see, we come from the fall forward. We think of ourselves from the fall forward. We think humankind is all about the fall forward. But actually, before the foundation of the world, he had a plan that we were already ruling and reigning, that we were perfect. And here's the thing. Danny, does God change?
No.
So therefore, does his opinion change?
No.
Can you back that up with Scripture? I'll let you think for a minute. He says in Malachi 3, verse 6, that I am the Lord and I
change not.
See, he just backed it up with Scripture. Okay, so when did God change his mind about us? What if he saw Adam the same? But the only one that saw differently was Adam. Why? There's something he's aiming at. There's something he's targeting here. The enemy is after the kingship. The enemy is after the dominion. The enemy had not given anything that he was in charge of, and he saw that God had dominion over everything, and he said, I will be like God. Because he wanted a dominion, but he found out that the earth, let's go to, I think it's in the Bible, Psalm 115, I think. Not sure what verse, and it says the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. Does anyone have that? What, 115, 16?
The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man.
Okay, so the earth, okay, this earth, this terra firma, this thing that we walk on, this thing that he says the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to all humanity. He's given the earth to all humanity. So the enemy saw that we had a domain that he wanted, because he couldn't have the heavens. He couldn't have the heavens because God was in charge there, but he wanted this realm. So what does he do to get this realm? He took us off our throne. And he's trying to take us off our throne every day. He's trying to take you off your individual throne. He's doing whatever he can to deceive you. He's doing whatever he can. He's done it with me. He's doing it with me. And what he's doing is trying to say, I want your dominion. I want your dominion. I want your dominion. So he will cause stuff to happen in our life, and all of a sudden we're no longer a king. We're acting like beggars. Please, God. Please, God. Does a king do that? What does a king do? I command in the name of Jesus. A king sits on a throne. A king rules. The king has dominion. And it says that we are now seated with Christ in heavenly places. Well, where is Christ seated? On a throne. And so what does that mean? That means that the Bible says if any man be in Christ, in Christ. So if Jesus is sitting on the throne, who's sitting on the throne? We are. So if you're a king and you're sitting on the throne, are you begging? Oh, please. No. You're ruling. You're ruling. you're going through in life, and the Lord is saying, rise up, king, and rule it. How long will you submit yourself to this slavery? You know, I have a friend, she's the president of, the national president of AGLOW in Canada, and she's had the diagnosis of 4th-stage lymphoma. She goes into the cancer treatment center, she says this, and they look at her, and she comes in fully make-upped and everything, she's alive, she's happy, she comes in, and they look at her like everybody else is. They come in totally defeated. And she says to them, and they said, why are you so happy? Because she says, I'm a well person fighting off sickness. Because she knows her inner core, I am not a mere human. You know that song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of earth will go strangely dim. That's the position we fight from. Why? Because we're under the order of Melchizedek. What is preventing us from ruling? It's only deception. It is only deception. There's a guy that I've learned quite a bit from, and I haven't listened to him for a while, but his name's Paul Keith Davis. And he talks about the symbolism in the scriptures regarding the world. And he's using the typology of Israel. And so he says the nation of Israel is actually a type of in the world, a type of the world. But he says Jerusalem, which is out of Israel, he says, is a type of the body of Christ in the world. But he says there's a third segment. Out of Jerusalem, there's Mount Zion. Mount Zion is a remnant that is called out to be a unique force on the earth, hopefully to influence Jerusalem, the other parts of the body of Christ, and also the world. But there's a special called out group called Mount Zion. I want to read to you what he states. They are those who are in union with God. That it is just like God is speaking through them. He describes what goes on in heaven and what goes on in the last days. And he says that he believes, and I believe he's correct, he believes that the book of Revelation talks about those that will be sitting on thrones in heaven. But he says there's another group that's serving around the throne. And he says the demarcation of that is whether we perceive ourselves as a remnant on earth and saying, I'm part of that sold out group that is absolutely fully committed to the kingdom of God as his will being established on earth as it is in heaven. And he says that group is sitting on thrones in heaven. The rest of the body of Christ, he said, are those that have accepted Jesus as their Savior. Thank you. I have Jesus in my life, but Jesus doesn't necessarily have them. You know, and I don't mean accept them, but Jesus is an ingredient that's added. that benefits them, but is not the driving force of who they are. But then there's that remnant. He has me. He has me. And how many in the body of Christ are walking around and saying, no, I am his possession. He's not my possession. I'm his. He has me. And so I'm at a place in my life because he has me. That has to go. That has to go. It's like a line in the sand. Because you see, those in Jerusalem have Christ. Those in Zion, he has them. The order of Melchizedek is a ruling, reigning force that says, this does not look like heaven. But because I corporately sit on a throne with everyone else, I decree that this does not come into my city. I decree that this does not come into my body. So any disease is like, hey, you're a foreign body. So my question today is this. Do we have Jesus or does he have us? Do we possess Jesus and have him as part of our lives? Is he an addition? Or does he have us? Do we want blessings or do we want God? Thousands of Christians have no interest in the kingdom. That's Jerusalem. Thousands of Christians have no interest in the kingdom. Because they've accepted the Lord for one purpose, so they can go to heaven. Or they've accepted the Lord so they don't go to hell. Where is the focus of that? What was on them? It says in the Bible that God came up with a plan, and the plan was centered on Christ, not us. We think Jesus came to save us. No. He came to establish a kingdom, a dominion on the earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. First part of his prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. It says that Jesus is sitting down until he's made his enemies a footstool, it says in Hebrews. Well, who makes his enemies a footstool? If Jesus is sitting down at the right hand of the Father, who's doing that? We are. Because we are his full representation on the earth, and our job is to make his he's our enemy. He's not God's enemy because he's no comparison to God. His enemy a footstool. So So there's something about the order of Melchizedek. In April, Remy and Femi Ogurundi from Nigeria are coming to do a course here. And they will be probably emphasizing some of this, definitely. Because what the church doesn't realize is how much God makes decisions about government. And it is not secular government. Secular government does not rule the world. God looks at the church. That's the government that God is looking for. But you see, the enemy has deceived us into becoming wimps, into becoming slaves of shame, slaves of condemnation, slaves of things that are putting us down and keeping us back. So we don't rule and reign. And God wants us to rule and reign. Why is God raising up? Why did God raise up this church? So you could come together on Sunday morning and sing Kumbaya? There's a bigger plan. Your call corporately is to infiltrate this region for the kingdom, because anything that can't be shaken is of the kingdom. And you're there to shake this region. You're there to influence this region and rule and reign this region as kings and priests that speak not only praise towards God. That's what priests do. They praise towards God, but the priests also praise to the God in you. My work is to minister to the God in you, to encourage the God in you to grow up, for you to grab a hold of what God is saying. There's a verse, Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, it says, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, some versions put children in there, and it's not right, okay, because it is sons. And there's a big difference between being a son and a child. There's a big difference. And when the Bible, you see, the Bible was written in Eastern culture, not Western culture. Okay, the Bible was written in, but what we do, because we've got Western culture, we interpret the scriptures through Western culture. We're not supposed to do that. And so this is why the whole essence is that in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Totally different. Children and sons are totally a different thing. Okay? Because the word sons is the word weos. Okay? It's H-U-I-O-S. And it's weos in the Greek. And a son is someone that has been given a position. They've been positioned. And it's male and female, so don't think it's gender, because it isn't. It's male and female. And that's, and you see, the word technon is a child, is a like a toddler, first grader, somewhere around there, up to grade 12. And it says, the verse following talks about children of God, and so that's technon. But in verse 14, it says, many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. In other words, in Israel, if you've gone there, how many been to Israel? How many want to go to Israel? Absolutely. It'll change your life. There's something about being there that gives you a visual for the Bible. And you can say, oh, I know what that looks like. Oh, I know what that smells like. I know what they mean. And so it's actually a very important part of our journey. So there's a celebration that they have when kids are 12 years old. What is it? A what? Bar mitzvah. That's right. Do you know what that is? It's the adoption ceremony. It's actually, that's where they get their word adoption. But that's when the child, the technon, becomes a weos. Okay? So it's a position. Every one of us are children of God. We've been born of God. You're not adopted. If you believe you're adopted, then you're thinking Western. Okay? Your thinking is wrong. If you're adopted, because our idea of adoption is being taken from one family and put into another family. We're not adopted by God. We're born of God. We have his DNA in us. And that's why Jesus came. And that's what Jesus intended. And that's what the Father intended, is that someday Jim would grow up looking like Jesus, because he's got the DNA of the Father. And as he gets older and older and older, he's becoming more and more like Jesus, because the DNA is working. I found out that I'm very much like my father. You know, I'm more like my father than my mom. I have my personality of my father. My mom is nice.
Amen.
You know, when I just came back, Gary and I were on a cruise, and we were in the West Indies suffering. It was awful. The sun and stuff like that, you know. But we were in the West Indies, and my dad's dad was actually at one time part of the Latter Rain movement, and they went from island to island in the West Indies preaching. And when I was in the West Indies, I could feel that heritage. And we were on a holy pilgrimage. There was St. Thomas, St. Kitts, St. Martin's. So we were there. And I had it, well, and then there was Martinique. I mean, there was that too. It was suffering, yes, but we got through it. Thank you, Jesus. We're more than conquerors. Yeah. And so I felt my grandfather and his heritage. And there were times when we landed on the island and I was just weeping, because these people were taken as slaves from out of Africa and other places and put on those islands. And they're still living in squalor. And it's because they don't know how beautiful they are. Because the enemy convinced them that they were slaves when they weren't. And I said to God, give me a chance to tell them the truth about who they are. Just give me a chance. You see, adoption, in our mindset, you don't get DNA from your adoptive parents. You get DNA from your born parents. And that's why Jesus said, you must be born again, or actually born from above is a proper translation. And Paul says you should be adopted. Well, which one's telling the truth? They both are, because adoption is that you've come to a place of maturity in your life where you realize, I'm not going to live for myself anymore. I'm living as God's possession. He's not my possession. I'm living as God's possession. And so sons, it's an adoption ceremony that they have where they do this bar mitzvah. And now the son or the daughter, girls are included, is that they now become active members of the synagogue.
Mom.
So this is the thing. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. Who has that? Isaac, do you have it?
For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are.
Okay, wrong. Yeah, it says children, but it actually is sons. Okay, the reason is, can your child help the earth? Do you give a car? Would you give Emmett the keys to your car, please? and let him drive down the street. Why? Because he can't handle the responsibility. Okay, what about Finley? Should we do that with her? No, I don't think so. Yeah, I think Spencer would kind of step in there a little bit. Okay, why? Because we're not mature enough to handle it. But Jim, if Isaac comes over and says, Dad, can I borrow the car? What are you going to do? Put gas in it. Would you let him drive it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you
can drive. Okay. Carefully now, okay? Why? Because Isaac is mature enough to drive the car. You see, and what the sonship thing is about is a place and a position of maturity. And so what God is saying, the earth and all creation is waiting and groaning and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Why? Because the sons can take responsibility of the earth. The sons know that they're of the order of Melchizedek. They know that they will rule and reign and they will cause this earth. Why will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Children just want to play. But this is what God is calling. He's calling us to grow up. But there's some things in our life that are still saying, I'm naked. I'm full of shame. What's preventing us from being a son? God is calling this work right here to sonship. That is taking responsibility for this region. Why did he put you here? Because you have a responsibility not to be blessed on Sunday morning. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I feel the goosebumps. I'm going home now. I got my bumps for the week. Yes! That's children. That's not sons. Sons are, I have a corporate responsibility with all my other fellow sons in the Lord, male, female, to bring the will of heaven on earth in this region, into Thief River Falls, into the region, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because I'm of the order of Melchizedek. So this is my question. Who is saying you're naked? What voice is preventing you from ruling? If Christ is not on a throne in an area, you need to let him be on the throne, because otherwise you possess Christ and he does not possess you. Can we just stand before the Holy Spirit, please? He's in us. Another thing God spoke, and he says, are we an AWOL Christian? Like in the army, I'm absent from the troop that I've been called to. Something is causing me to be AWOL in the spirit. I'm absent from my orders. I'm absent from my troop that I've been called to. I'm AWOL. Holy Spirit, come. Possess me. Holy Spirit, possess me. That part that has been held back, that the enemy is making sure that I stay in deception, so I don't take my rightful place in ruling. Lord, reveal that. Holy Spirit, I cannot change me, but you can. Holy Spirit, come. Free us from chains that don't belong to us, that were never intended for us, Lord. You've known us from before the foundation of the world, and we were absolutely perfect. And that's still how you see us. And Lord, the enemy is saying, no, you're a prisoner. And so he causes these things in our lives to deceive us into staying a prisoner. Events, circumstances, situations, and we remain prisoners when we're really kings. We're not a mere human. Holy Spirit, bring in the power to break the chains today, Lord. Bring in the power to free us today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, bring in the power to break mindsets, Lord, to break them, Lord, that have held us captive for so long. In Jesus' name, you're not pointing a finger of condemnation. You're pointing a finger of freedom, Lord. You're pointing a finger of freedom, Lord. Let us go. Let us be free. Let us be free in Jesus' name. Break the chains of deception, God, that are keeping us from ruling and reigning and doing our job on the earth, Lord. Deliver us, Lord. It says, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Deliver us from evil. Let him work on you. He's undoing chains. I don't want to be a prisoner. I'm fed up with being a prisoner. I'm fed up of not rising to the throne. I'm fed up of tolerating this crap, this abuse. These constant thoughts running through my mind. I'm tired of them. Deliver me from evil. Set me free, Lord. Because I have been called as a king. Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, can you put your hand on your heart for a minute? Let's just say the words of Jesus. Thy will be done in me. I'm no longer going to go back into the prison. I'm breaking out in the name of Jesus. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Scripture says, he that the Son has set free is free indeed. Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for breaking the chains over our lives. Thank you for breaking the chains in our lives. In making us kings and priests. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This morning, if there's any of you that would like prayer, Dara's here, the elders are here to pray for you. Because we are kings, we are priests. And we believe what the word says this morning. And God, if we don't believe what the word says, then change our minds, change our hearts. I believe what the word says this morning, that I am a king, I am a priest. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to close the service, and then if anybody does want prayer, come. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we would ask, God, that you go with us, that you would go with us out into the community, out into Thief River Falls, out into Plummer, out into Goodrich. Father, that you go with us. Father, help us to open up our mouths. Open up our mouths and speak eternal life to people this week. So, Father, now we ask for your blessings over the congregation in Jesus' name. Amen. If anybody wants prayer, please come.